Did you know that as more people listen to WNYC on the internet, our bandwidth expenses go up? Please do your part to support WNYC's online services. Click the ePledge button to make your gift now. And thanks.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Now, impeachment is off the table.
And that's a pledge.
Well, it's a pledge. It's a pledge. Of course it is.
House Minority Leader and Speaker-in-Waiting, she hopes, Nancy Pelosi on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl Sunday night, pledging not to pursue impeachment of President Bush if Democrats take control of the House. A Newsweek poll just out finds 47% of Democrats believe impeachment proceedings should be a top priority if the Democrats control Congress. But here is a longer version of Pelosi's reasons why not.
No, impeachment is off the table.
And that's a pledge.
Well, it's a pledge. It's a pledge. Of course it is. It is a waste of time.
So that's completely off the table.
Wouldn't they just love it if we came in and our record as Democrats coming forth in 12 years is to talk about George Bush and Dick Cheney? This election is about them. This is a referendum on them. Making them lame ducks is good enough for me.
Despite Pelosi's clear declarative pledge, Republicans are warning that a Democratic Congress could well take the country down that path, which they say would be vindictive and divisive. And in fact, not all Democrats are so definitively ruling it out. Here is an exchange I had with Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey in an interview we recorded last week. You'll hear my voice first. If the Democrats gain control of Congress, will you support investigations or even impeachment proceedings against the president?
Well, I believe clearly that one of the most important roles of the Congress can and should play is aggressive oversight. And I would say that whether it's a Democratic or Republican president sitting in the White House.
What would that mean in this case? What would you initiate?
It would mean bringing hearings and including bringing witnesses under subpoena if they're not willing to come voluntarily as to how did we fail the people of the Gulf Coast in Hurricane Katrina? How is it that we have an Iraq policy that has lost so many lives, that has cost so much money, and that is not headed in a direction of achieving any successful result? How is it that Halliburton gets the type of contracts that they get and leaves so many of the critical services in a underfunded way? How is it that the oil industry writes the energy legislation versus energy legislation that creates energy independence and security? Those are some of the things I'd see be very critical to be asked and on behalf of the American people.
Senator Robert Menendez, and with that, we continue our 2006 election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 22. If the Democrats take Congress, should they consider impeaching President Bush? With me first to discuss the possible investigation and possible impeachment proceedings against the president is former New York Congresswoman, former New York City Controller, former Brooklyn DA, Elizabeth Holtzman. Back in 1974, you may know, she was on the House Judiciary Committee when it considered the impeachment of President Nixon. And this year she published a book called The Impeachment of President Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens, published by Nation Books. Liz Holtzman, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be back with you.
Should Nancy Pelosi, if elected Speaker of the House, open impeachment proceedings against President Bush?
Well, I think there's no question that President Bush has committed impeachable offenses. And the fact of the matter is that if impeachment is started from the top down, impeachment proceedings, they won't succeed. Impeachment has to reflect a pretty deep consensus among the American people that the president has so subverted the Constitution and has so threatened our democracy that steps have to be taken to address that and remediate that. You know, we saw a top-down impeachment with regard to President Clinton. That was decided by the special prosecutor, Kenneth Starr, who issued this horrendous report, and by a partisan Congress that said, we're getting President Clinton.
And the people
and
never
the American
really
people
supported it.
Never supported it, and it was totally nonpartisan. The impeachment proceedings against Richard Nixon did not start with the Congress. They started with the American people.
So do you see the beginnings of that public groundswell right now, this Newsweek number? 47% of Democrats say impeachment proceedings should be a priority. It's much, much lower among Republicans and independents.
Sure, because that groundswell has been going for some time, despite the Democratic Party's leadership running totally in the opposite direction. And it started in part because the American people have begun to understand what the Constitution requires. You know, the framers of the Constitution anticipated Richard Nixon, and they anticipated George Bush. They knew that there were going to be presidents who, despite the Supreme Court and the Congress and the Constitution itself, would run amok, threaten our democracy, and subvert the Constitution. And they gave the power to preserve our democracy to the Congress. They didn't give it to the courts. They didn't give it to the state legislatures. They gave it to Congress. And they said, Congress, you've got to save us from presidents, and it's your responsibility to do this. And the American people have to understand the constitutional power and the purpose of the constitutional power of impeachment. I think once the grounds are laid out, there can be broad support for an impeachment effort against President Bush.
In the clip of Senator Menendez, he didn't use the I word. He used the O word, oversight, aggressive oversight, he said, and then listed things that he thought the Republican Congress was not sufficiently overseeing, like Hurricane Katrina and how it was handled and how we got into the mess in Iraq and Halliburton and oil company participation in energy legislation. Do you think that was code for investigating with an eye toward impeachment?
Well, I think the investigations have to take place, whether they come under the rubric of impeachment or whether they just come in terms of what happened. In my judgment, getting the facts will convince the American people that this president lied to get us, not just himself was deceived, but deliberately lied to get us into the war in Iraq, a war that has cost not only lives and limbs of Americans, huge numbers of deaths in Iraq, huge cost, trillions of dollars now the estimates are about the cost of the war, but has created chaos in the Middle East and will threaten us for a long time. Now, if the president lied to do this, not only is that a subversion of our democracy and of the Constitution, but it is so serious, the consequences are so grave, we are in this situation because of that, that I believe it warrants impeachment. And I think if those facts are open to the American people, there will be that kind of groundswell of support for removing this man.
But let's say that the president did lie to the American people before the Iraq war. If the Constitution says high crimes and misdemeanors, and the president didn't lie under oath,
oh.
Politicians lie all the time.
Ryan, that's a very good question, and it's a good point, and maybe I made an assumption in my statement. The fact of the matter is that high crimes and misdemeanors is a very obscure term. We think it means crimes, but it doesn't really mean crimes. When the framers
crimes doesn't mean crimes.
High crimes doesn't mean crimes. It means a political crime. It means an abuse of power. When they were, and I put in my book because I want people really, I don't want them to take my word that the president's actions justify impeaching them. I give them the excerpts from the debates on the impeachment clause during the time it was ratified. Now, the founding fathers, and it's very clear. They started out. They said, you know, we're worried about having a monarch. We lived under a monarch. We know that a president could do bad things. So we're going to create this impeachment power. And they started off with treason and bribery. Treason is a defined term in the Constitution. And bribery, we all know what bribery is. I mean, we've known about that for a very long time.
Campaign finance laws notwithstanding.
Right. And George Mason from Virginia got up and said, you know, there are still great and dangerous offenses that a president can commit that will subvert the Constitution, that are not covered by the terms treason and bribery. What should we put in its place? We've got to get these great and dangerous offenses that subvert the Constitution. He didn't say that violate the criminal code. He said that subvert the Constitution. And that's the genesis for the term high crimes and misdemeanors. And we decided that during the Nixon impeachment proceedings, that to be a high crime and misdemeanor, the act of the president does not have to be a violation of the criminal code.
Elizabeth Holtzman, author of The Impeachment of George W. Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens. As we continue with Issue 22 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series, should a Democratic Congress consider impeaching the president? Two of the central reasons you advocate impeachment are the warrantless surveillance of phone calls and the detainee programs. But we've been seeing both the Supreme Court and the Congress deal with those issues to stop them or endorse them. Why wouldn't impeachment over those things be criminalizing policy differences?
Let's just take the warrantless wiretaps. The president has violated the explicit law of the United States with regard to foreign intelligence wiretaps. The president says, I'm commander-in-chief and I can do this. Well, we have a direct precedent that shows that this is an impeachable offense because Richard Nixon did exactly the same thing. He had warrantless wiretaps. He had wiretaps that were illegal, unconstitutional, and the Congress of the United States, when I was on the House Judiciary Committee, named those warrantless wiretaps as one of the grounds for his impeachment.
Against his political enemies, not against something like Al-Qaeda.
Well, we don't know, and that's one of the reasons that this law was passed by Congress saying presidents can't wiretap on their own say-so. They've got to go to a court because President Nixon was wiretapping not political enemies so much as his journalists, White House staff, and who knows them, what other people could have been included. We don't know who President Bush is wiretapping, but that isn't really the point. The point is you can't have a president who says he's above the law. And, you know, it's not just the Constitution that says the president has to obey the law. We had a U.S. Supreme Court case on this subject in 1954 when we were at war in Korea, just like we're at war in Iraq. We were at war in Korea, and President Truman said, just as Bush said, he said, you know, we're at war and the steel mills are about to go on strike and we're not going to have the steel for the bullets and the guns and the tanks and the planes. I'm going to take over the steel mills and keep them running so we can keep the war going. And the Supreme Court said, Mr. President, you can't do that. You're only commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy. You're not commander-in-chief of the country.
But let me play you another clip. This time it's Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, and put on your headphones so you can hear this well, Senator Clinton from her debate Friday night against John Spencer on the question of surveillance.
I have always advocated giving any president the tools to fight and defeat terrorists, and I continue to do so. I have supported electronic surveillance and wiretapping.
So if you criminalize President Bush, are you criminalizing Clinton on this issue?
No, absolutely not. She's said nothing inconsistent with what I've said. What the law is that the president violated was that he has to go to a special court and get permission. He has done that. And if he doesn't, on other wiretaps, and every other president, as far as we know, has done that. In fact, this is a special court, hardly even knows how to say no. There have been 19,000 applications for wiretap warrants for the special court for foreign intelligence, and only 5 rejections have been ever granted, 19,000 approvals. So this is not a court that's going to stand in any president's way of making any serious wiretap applications. But the president can't say, I am above the law, because as Justice Jackson said in the Steele seizure case, he said, history will never forgive us if we allow a president to operate without a system of checks and balances.
Senator Clinton did say later in that answer, by the way, that she thinks the president should get authorization, but Congress seems on the verge of authorizing. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue then with Issue 22 and 30 Issues in 30 Days. If the Democrats take Congress, should they open impeachment proceedings against President Bush? We'll stay with Elizabeth Holtzman and also be joined by a Democratic congressional candidate who thinks not, and political analysis on this from Mike Isikoff from Newsweek. Stay with us, Brian Lehrer on WNYC. WNYC. It's our 2006 election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. Coming up in this series tomorrow, is either party Week on Terror with Congressman Gerald Nadler, among others. Thursday, Privatize This, about privatizing the military and privatizing the national parks. Friday, Issue 25, Should the Government Help Pay for Your College Education? We continue now with Issue 22. If the Democrats take Congress, should they consider impeaching President Bush? Still with us, former New York Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman, who served on the House Judiciary Committee when they held impeachment proceedings against Richard Nixon, and author of a new book called The Impeachment of George W. Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens. And also joining us now, two more guests. Dave Mejias is the Democratic candidate for Congress against Republican Peter King in Nassau County. He opposes impeachment proceedings if his party takes Congress. And Mike Isikoff, Newsweek magazine Washington correspondent, here to do political analysis on this. He also has a new book called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War. Mr. Mejias, welcome. Mike Isikoff, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Thank you for having me on. I'm a big fan.
Thanks. Mike, I see the Newsweek poll out this week finds 47% of Democrats think impeachment should be a high priority if the Democrats control the House. Does this surprise you?
It's a little high. It's certainly not where the Democratic Party leadership is, just listening to Nancy Pelosi, who's in line to become Speaker if the Democrats retake control. She couldn't be clearer that impeachment is off the table. I think there's a recognition that while partisan feelings might be very high at this point, it's not where the country is, and it is, and it could well become a trap for Democrats if they pursue this, just as the impeachment inquiry into President Clinton became a trap for Republicans a few years ago.
Mr. Mejias, you are running to unseat a local Republican, Peter King, but if you get in, I gather you don't support impeachment proceedings, despite the arguments that we heard from Ms. Holtzman earlier about how they may be needed to protect the Constitution. Why not?
Well, I agree with Mr. Isikoff on this. We have to get back to doing the business of the people, of the working classes who are paying all the taxes in this country and taking home the least amount of money. And I think, as Michael said, this would be a trap. We have to do the business of the people. And besides, I don't think anybody's comfortable with President Cheney.
President Cheney, that's what you get, Liz Holtzman, if you impeach George W. Bush.
Not necessarily, because any investigation, and of course an investigation would have to be conducted to, if you wanted to impeach the president, you couldn't just do it on the basis of my book, much as I think my book is correct. I still think you have to have a fair and thorough process. I'm sure that that would uncover some additional information about Mr. Cheney, and then you could have what I would call a twofer. And
then you'd wind up with who, Dennis Hastert?
No, you'd wind up with Nancy Pelosi as the first woman president of the United States, which is one of the reasons.
How self-serving is that?
Well, that's one of the reasons I think she's being very careful to make sure that this is off the table, because she is a direct beneficiary, and she's too smart to get herself into that trap. But I just want to make one point about bread and butter issues. When we did the impeachment proceeding against Richard Nixon in 1974, which has still withstood the test of time, that was about repairing the Constitution. That was about preserving our democracy. And to say that the American people only care about bread and butter issues is really to dumb down the American people. The American people care about the Constitution, and they care about the democracy. And if they're shown how irreparably Mr. Bush has ripped it apart and how seriously he's done that, I think there would be substantial support. Because in Watergate, what did we have? An enemies list going after political enemies, illegal wiretapping, obstruction of justice. You didn't have any bread and butter issues in that, and that won the huge support of the country.
Mr. Mejias, let me replay for you the exchange I had last week with Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey on this, and get your reaction. This begins with my question. If the Democrats gain control of Congress, will you support investigations or even impeachment proceedings against the president?
Well, I believe clearly that one of the most important roles of the Congress can and should play is aggressive oversight. And I would say that whether it's a Democratic or Republican president sitting in the White House.
What would that mean in this case? What would you initiate?
It would mean asking, bringing hearings and including bringing witnesses under subpoena if they're not willing to come voluntarily, as to how did we fail the people of the Gulf Coast in Hurricane Katrina? How is it that we have an Iraq policy that has lost so many lives, that has cost so much money, and that is not headed in a direction of achieving any successful result? How is it that Halliburton gets the type of contracts that they get and leaves so many of the critical services in a underfunded way. How is it that the oil industry writes the energy legislation versus energy legislation that creates energy independence and security? Those are some of the things I'd see be very critical to be asked and on behalf of the American people.
Senator Menendez. So Dave Mejias, Democrat running for Congress against Peter King, he was very specific there about launching what he called aggressive oversight into the specific areas he mentions. Katrina, Iraq policy, Halliburton, oil industry, writing energy policy. Would you oppose things like that?
Oh, absolutely not. And I think that's exactly what America needs. Part of the problem is that Peter King and the rest of the Republican leadership in Congress have rubber-stamped George Bush and his failed policies on Katrina, on Iraq, on their plan to privatize Social Security, on the health care, where there's 47 million Americans without health care. They've rubber-stamped his failed policies on Medicare Part D so that pharmaceutical companies can make even more money. And that's the problem with America today. People feel like there's no one in Congress that's fighting for them. It's the millionaires and the rich corporations who are benefiting from George Bush and the Republican leadership, and the working classes in this country, the people that pay all the taxes, work the hardest, and take home the least, are the ones that feel that they've been left out and sold out.
And if those oversight hearings led to revelations of things that you would consider maybe high crimes and misdemeanors, like lying to the American people to get us into the war, are you ruling it out?
Well, I think the most important thing we should do is make sure that the people are taken care of first. I mean, impeachment should be secondary. It should be an issue that if it happens, it happens. But I wouldn't support that. What I would support is holding the big oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies and George Bush accountable for their failed policies. That's the first thing we need to do, is get this country back on the right track, going in the right direction. And that means getting rid of the rubber stamp in Congress. I mean, we saw how clogged Congress got when they impeached President Clinton. It did really the impeachment of President Clinton did nothing for the American people. What we need to do in Congress right now is ask tough questions to deliver real substantive change for the people of America.
So, Mike Isikoff, do you think there's a kind of good cop, bad cop thing going on here? You heard Menendez's response to my question, which was about investigation and impeachment. He didn't say no. He said we need aggressive oversight in these areas compared to or coupled with Nancy Pelosi, and we'll replay a little of this clip from 60 Minutes.
No, impeachment is off the table.
And that's a pledge.
Well, it's a pledge. It's a pledge. Of course it is.
So Mike Isikoff from Newsweek, how much of a real difference do you think there is, except in what word you use, between launching aggressive oversight, as Menendez calls it, and, you know, taking impeachment off the table, as Pelosi puts it?
Well, this is almost sort of a no-brainer. Of course, aggressive oversight is something congressional leadership ought to be doing. They didn't do it. They haven't done it under in the last few years for the natural reason that a Republican-controlled Congress has been reluctant to embarrass a Republican White House. And if we have a Democratic-controlled Congress, we're going to get that. And we're going to get it from some people who, as we point out in Newsweek this week, who have a lot of experience in that area, John Dingell, Henry Waxman, and a lot of others, of people who have been doing, you know, who used to do that, who were around long enough in the early 90s when the Democrats still controlled Congress to have done it, and are just sort of licking their chops at the opportunity to do it again. But I mean, at the end of the day, impeachment is a political act. The country has to be there. There has to be a groundswell for it, and it has to be, in some sense, linked to a articulable and distinguishable crime. In Watergate, the threat to the Constitution and the larger issues were all there in the backdrop, but it started with a crime and discrete, identifiable evidence that there was obstruction of justice to conceal that crime, or at least the cover up of that crime.
Liz Holtzman,
you have legal debates, important, serious legal debates about warrantless wiretapping and other related issues in the war on terror, but you don't have an articulable, distinguishable crime.
Liz Holtzman, I take it you disagree with the interpretation of the Constitution.
Yes, well, the Constitution doesn't require a crime, and we established that during the Nixon impeachment process.
High crimes and misdemeanors is the language.
Yes, but you missed my comment on that. The term high crimes and misdemeanors, if you go back to the constitutional debates, and you can read the reports that we present and memoranda done during the Nixon impeachment, high crimes and misdemeanors does not mean a violation of the criminal code. It means abuse of power. It means a subversion of the Constitution. And if you want to get into the issue of low crimes, meaning crimes that violate a criminal code, let's take the Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act. It is a crime, a federal crime, to violate that law. It is a felony. It is a federal crime to violate the War Crimes Act and to involve yourself in to order or conspire to or aid or abet the mistreatment of prisoners in violation of the Geneva Conventions. So we have crimes, and it may well be that you have actual fraud if the President of the United States deliberately lies with regard to getting us into the war in Iraq. But we don't have to go there. We didn't go there during the Nixon impeachment. But I think you do make a critical point with which I agree, which is that the country has to be behind this. I think we can't get caught up in the Clinton impeachment. That was a horror show. It was an abuse of power. But if the country gets behind this, if the process is done fairly, one, the country will support it. And number two, it doesn't have to occupy all the time of Congress. I think Mr. Mias is wrong about that. When the House Judiciary Committee conducted impeachment proceedings against Richard Nixon, the Congress was functioning. We were still at war. Other activities were going on. The country was functioning. It did not disrupt the Congress.
So do you think... Let me just...
constitutional interpretation of high crimes and misdemeanors. However, I think this new Congress, this new Democratic Congress, will be charged with a fundamental change in policy and not settling scores. We need to deliver for the American people. They're sick and tired of what's going on in Washington right now. Mr. Iskoff said it's a political decision. It is. They're sick and tired of the politics, and they want to see Congress working for them, not the political insiders.
My guest on WNYC, Dave Mejias, who was just speaking, Democratic congressional candidate running against Peter King in Nassau County, Elizabeth Holtzman, former congresswoman who was on the House Judiciary Committee during the Nixon impeachment proceedings. She's written a book called The Impeachment of George W. Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens, and Mike Isikoff from Newsweek, who also has a new book called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin Scandal and the Selling of the Iraq War. Liz Holtzman, as a practical matter, do you think when you take those two clips of Pelosi and Menendez together, that if they start down the aggressive oversight hearings road that Menendez was laying out, that it's being set up to result in impeachment hearings?
I don't think it's being set up. I don't believe that. I mean, I'm not an insider, so I can't tell you. But I think that could be one of the inevitable outcomes. Also, the press, in all fairness, hasn't really focused on impeachment in a serious way. And there are a lot of misconceptions, such as what Mr. Isikoff said about what a high crime and misdemeanor is. So I think as this process goes forward, if the Democrats win control of the House and Senate, and I think that's a necessary condition, then the American people will be educated, first of all, about what impeachment really is involved with. Secondly, the Congress will engage in some investigations that will adduce some additional facts, I think. And then I think there'll be a much larger support for impeachment. I think, by the way, that you'd have much more support by Democrats for impeachment. That 47% is a small number because I think Democrats remember the Clinton impeachment, and too few people remember how well the House performed and how bipartisan and how fair and how responsible the Nixon impeachment was. And by the way, that wasn't an issue of revenge. It wasn't an issue that was not relevant to the country. What we were trying to do was to restore our democracy and to say that a president could not put himself above the law. And if we have a president who continues to feel that way, he continues to endanger our country.
Mike Isikoff, the Republicans are trying very hard to scare the American people into voting Republican for Congress because of the specter of ultra-liberal Nancy Pelosi, they would say, becoming Speaker. As a matter of political analysis, how does her stand on impeachment fit into that?
Exactly. I mean, she's very conscious that impeachment is a talking point for Republicans. They're the ones who want this debate to be taking place right now. And they've made that very clear. I mean, read RNC press releases, and they play up the specter of of John Conyers holding impeachment hearings, which he did suggest, and then since has explicitly withdrawn. So I think that's exactly what Nancy Pelosi is trying to tamp down. But, look, at the end of the day, this is a sort of screaming irrelevancy. It's not what this debate is, what the congressional debate is all about right now. It's not what the country is talking about. There is an important election with important issues coming up, and, I think that to fall into the trap of talking about this is not just to sort of play into Republican talking points' hands. It's sort of, it's irrelevant to what this election is all about.
Liz Holtzman, you falling into Republican talking points' hands?
Hardly. And this is central to what the election is about, because the control of shifting the control of Congress to the Democrats' hands is the precondition for restoring our democracy. And if you think that that's irrelevant to an election, I have to fundamentally disagree with you. Restoring our democracy from a president who has violated the Constitution repeatedly and committed impeachable offenses, whether lying to drive us into the war in Iraq, violating the war on wiretapping, refusing to take care that the laws are faithfully executed in the face of the impending disaster in Katrina. This is a president who continues to threaten the well-being of the United States and continues to be a threat to the Constitution. It is not irrelevant. It is a central fact of this election.
Dave Mejias, you're running against Peter King, but despite his being from our Democratic-leaning district, or region, I should say, despite his position supporting the war, supporting an immigration crackdown, which is not a particularly New York position, the experts say he's safe against you. Why do you think that is?
Well, it depends on the expert you ask. Some people, some of the Washington insiders and political reports say that this is one of the top 50 races in the country. I will say that I disagree. I think most people are more concerned about Iraq and privatizing Social Security and health care than they are about impeachment. I've been all over this district. I've only been asked about impeachment once. I don't think it's that important to people. I think people want to see our country move forward. I think Mr. Isikoff is exactly right that this plays into the Republican talking points. This is what they want us to be talking about, because the Republicans do not want people talking, Democratic candidates talking about Iraq and the failures of the Bush administration. This is not about impeachment. This election is a referendum on George Bush and the people that rubber stamp his failed policies. And that's why the Republicans are in trouble right now, because people like Peter King, who once was safe, is no longer safe because of he thanks God every night that George Bush is the president and says he's George Bush's man in Congress. And now we're seeing his literature, every single picture, he's standing with a Democrat and not a Republican. George Bush is on none of the Republican literature. Peter King's latest piece has him with Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer and Ed Koch, because they're trying to desperately distance themselves from the very president and failed policies that they rubber stamped, and now they're in trouble. People want to change, and impeachment is not part of that argument.
By the way, I should mention that we've invited Congressman King to be one of our guests in tomorrow's 30 Issues in 30 Days segment, which is titled, Is Either Party Weak on Terror? We'll see if he accepts the invitation, but just so everybody knows, with you coming on, that it's out there for him. Mike Isikoff, briefly, is Congresswoman Pelosi a shoe-in for Speaker if the Democrats win the House?
Nothing is ever a shoe-in. Certainly all current trends, all current polls are pretty consistent that the Democrats have a real shot at getting the House if the election were held.
But assuming they do.
Probably would, but look, it's not over yet.
But assuming they do, is she the basically the one and only candidate for Speaker?
Oh, yeah. There isn't anybody on the horizon.
Yeah. And Liz Holtzman, before you go, I have to ask you about the possible impeachment of someone else. You are a New York City controller. Now the State Ethics Committee has found controller Alan Hevesy to have illegally failed to reimburse the state for a driver for his wife. And impeachment is one of the possible remedies mentioned on the front page of the Times Metro section today. What do you think about the Alan Hevesy situation?
Well, I read the report. I think it's disgraceful, his behavior. He has apparently no defense to it. The state legislature and the governor and should take immediate action on that report. I'm not familiar with all the state proceedings. I know a lot about the federal impeachment. I don't know very much about the state impeachment. But it's important that the rule of law be vindicated, whether we're talking at federal level or state level, and whether we're talking about a Republican or a Democrat.
You've had some prior history with him investigating you, I think, right?
No, he never investigated
or
me.
Or something.
He's made charges against me, but I, I, uh, I think let the facts fall where they may,
yes.
and justice be done in this case.
What's the remedy, do you think?
Well, there are a number of remedies. I guess one of them includes his resignation, but some of that is in his hands, and some of that is in, you know, if he doesn't do the right thing, then others will have to do the right thing. There's no question about that. That's going to happen.
Elizabeth Holtzman, former congresswoman, former Brooklyn DA, former New York City controller. Her recent book is The Impeachment of George W. Bush, A Practical Guide for Concerned Citizens. Michael Isikoff from Newsweek. His new book is called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War. Dave Mejias is the Democratic Congress candidate for Congress against Republican Peter King in Nassau County. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
That's 30 issues in 30 days for today. Tomorrow, issue 23 is Either Party Week on Terror. And coming up next, we will look more closely at the possible removal of Alan Hevesy. Stay with us. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.